As I mentioned earlier, we're delighted to have Ron Schmidt and his wife Jo with us here this morning. I've known Ron since 1989. That's when he was invited to follow my father, who was retiring as pastor of Davisville Church in Southampton, Pennsylvania. Ron, it hit me this morning. I've known you half my life. So, it's amazing. Ron has pastored for 20 years in Florida before responding to God's call to return to his home church and lead as a lead pastor at Davisville Church. And then he spent the next 28 years doing so with excellence. While they lived in Florida, they took up the hobby of scuba diving with alligators. It might be something he'll be telling us about. I don't know. I won't say. I just know I can't swim in an indoor pool without whacking my head. So, you know, there you go. Ron presently serves as a lead chaplain at Christ Home, a place I worked for a few years. That's located in Warminster, Pennsylvania. And there he has formed the chaplaincy into a vibrant ministry over the last 7 years. So, Ron, thanks for that. It's been great. He's taught in the Bible department at Philadelphia Biblical University as an adjunct professor. He has served as board chair for World Team and presently serves as the chair for Endure International, a ministry committed to reaching Muslims for Christ in North Africa and the Middle East, and also helping persecuted Christians. Over the years, I've heard Ron teach, I've heard him preach, I've heard him deliver 5-minute devotionals when you gotta be really succinct. And just every time have been blessed, whether it's a morsel or a page full of notes. So I welcome Ron, Joe, to CNBC this morning. Ron, come. Let me have a word of prayer with you. Turn the time to you. And as you can see, there is no clock.
All right. Thank you.
But there's a clock over here.
I appreciate giving us 9 minutes.
Yeah.
That's good.
I saved you all the time I could.
Go ahead, brother.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, kicking off our Global Outreach Conference today, and to do so with our brother Ron, Lord, who has served you in many capacities over the years. Thank you for him, for his life, for his family. And Lord, we just look forward to what you're gonna share with us through this, your servant, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, thank you. It is good to be here today, and I appreciate the friendliness of this church. Not every church is that way, but we were just bombarded with greetings, and that's commendable. That says a lot of the body of Christ here. So keep it up. Keep it up. That's great. We live in challenging times, don't we? We live in a broken world. And that brokenness is on a fast track. And we see so much confusion in our world, in our country, because people have gotten off the path. In the Old Testament, the word to be blessed means to be on the right path. And when you get off that path, you're cursed. You experience the law of harvest. And we're seeing that through and through as never before. It really is. They've lost their way. And so as Christians, it's so easy to become discouraged and disheartened as we look at what's happening to our world, on a missions theme, and as well as in our own country that way. It really is. Now listen, and then we come to a conference like this. And we feel the weight of the world on us and the responsibility we have as the body of Christ. And it's tough. It's tough. But the Bible makes it clear we're never tasked to win the whole world for Christ. So let me take some of my burden off you, okay? We are tasked to be faithful. We are tasked to share the good news, the grace of God, which is the best deal on planet Earth. It really is. The best deal. And as we do that, there will be those that will come to Christ. The Bible implies most of the world will reject Christ, but there's probably a lot more than we realize that will come to Christ. And I believe, as I look at the New Testament, the Father is gathering a bride for his Son. And when that bride is complete, then Jesus will come back at the rapture. And it could well be that God will use your mission strategy, the ministry of this church, to bring that final one into the body of Christ to make up the bride. And God says, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Wouldn't that be exciting? If God uses what takes place this week. Because every morning I wake up, I say, good morning, Lord. Will I meet you today? Are you coming back today? And we should live that way. And so the challenge is before us. And here it begins as we kick off this week. I want to share a quote by, here we are, every tribe, every nation, tribe, and language, by Tricia Rhodes. God wants to meet your deepest needs. He wants you to see, know, taste, and experience him in ways that shake you to the core. Do you feel the shaking? He wants to do that. He longs for you more than you long for him. He stands ready to reveal himself, unfold you in love, speak to you with power, and touch you with grace. He has waited for you for this moment. Are you ready? Are you ready today and this week to do that very thing? That's what this week is all about. You know, missions is all about God's big story. I just love this. That God invites us, every one of us as children of God, to be a part of that big story. And to give up our little story. To quit living for our little story. Because a life wrapped up in itself is a very small package. And my friends, it's not worth it. So this week, I invite you to join the cast of God's big story. That's what this week is all about. It really is. And his big story tells us this, my friends, for those that are discouraged, that in the end, God wins. In fact, God is winning, even right now. We need to understand that. We need to understand that. He is. A few years ago, I was kind of discouraged that we were losing the battle. And you look at what's happening in the church and the world and just sin seems to be abounding. And I realize in the last days, savage, perilous times will come. I get that. It was easy to get the Elijah complex. Oh, only a faithful few are left, you know, and you get real discouraged that way. And then I discovered a passage in 1 John. In 1 John, I call the intimacy factor. Because he uses the word know by experience some 25 times. It's an intimacy word. And he wants us to know God who is light and love and life. And I just came across a passage that just set my heart in a different direction and gave me encouragement and confidence in my Lord, not myself, but in what he is doing and will do in our world. And as I looked at 1 John chapter 5, we'll look at it in just a moment, John audaciously selects a particular word to describe a Christian that is the brand of every Christian. So I want you to read the passage with me. And notice in yellow, there are four gold, yellow words. They're all from the same root. So keep that in mind. Read it with me together. Ready? For everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I love this passage. And before you dive in, you need to know that in John's day, the word for overcomes or overcomer or victory happened to be the name of a goddess, a Roman goddess. And her word was Nike. Have you ever heard the word Nike? Interesting. Nike was the winged goddess. This is one of the archaeological exhibits. The winged goddess. Nike would fly over the battlefields and bring victory and glory to Rome. There she is in the Louvre. At one battle, she lost her head. But that's Nike. And Rome lived for Nike. Okay, that was all about. In fact, some of the cities are named after that. Nicopolis, Polis is a city, Nike, city of victory that way kind of thing. And that's found in Greece, Nicopolis, where Caesar Augustus beat Antony and Cleopatra in a battle. Oh, victory. And so they lived for that. Rome rules, Rome wins. Well, wait a minute. That's not just limited to Rome. That's our brand. Nike is our brand. That's what St. John is talking about and the Apostle Paul and others that way. It's the brand for every believer. So let's go back to the passage. Everyone born of God overcomes, present tense, right now, the world. Our initial faith makes us Nikes, makes us victors. In fact, if you back up to verse 1, it says that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. The word Christ is not the last name of Jesus. It's his title. It's his Messiah. He's the anointed one. But everyone who believes is an overcomer. You're a Nike. When you realize what Christ came to do for us, God sent his son on a rescue mission, and we sure needed rescuing. I did. Ask my wife. He came on a rescue mission to rescue us, to make us victors that way. And so it's our faith in Christ, John would say. Everyone who believes in Jesus. It's not our good works. It's not our obedience. It's not our lifestyle. It's our faith in Christ that cements this great truth. Everyone born of God shares in the victory that Christ has given us. I love being a part of the winning team, don't you? My friends, we are the winning team. You need to know that. You need to know that. This week needs to be a celebration as you interact with the missionaries, which are, to me, my heroes. And you hear their stories and their calling and what God is doing and the fruit and the things they're doing that count for eternity. They're a part of a winning team. I love that. It's not, once again, we who have overcome the world, but Christ. And then he goes on, he says, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Once again, those two words, victory and overcome, from this same root, Nike. And so victory is rooted in the past, secured at the cross. I just love that. And the term there, okay, the tense of that verb is a once and for all event. He's talking about the cross. This is the victory that's overcome a single event in history. So here's Jesus, and he's sitting at the upper room and their final dinner, and he shares three things that are a bombshell. He says, one of you are going to deny me, and one of you will betray me, and I'm leaving. Are you kidding me? But that's why he says, John 14:6, because the implication is, within 24 hours, you're going to be wondering, did we follow the wrong guy? Did we follow the wrong person? He says, no, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You didn't. No one comes to the Father but by me. But let me hang in there. You'll see through this, although it's going to be cloudy for the next few days. And then it comes to the end of the upper room discourse. And I love what he says. I love the truth here that he promises us. That in this world, you're going to have some tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, not just your circumstances and mine, but the whole world. That's the big story of God. He's overcome the world. And once again, that particular tense is a perfect. That means something happened with continuing results, that there's going to be victory after victory and victory and non-stopping victory that Christ offers to us. And that's what this week is all about. We have the greatest leader ever. Wow. And then we are Nikes right now. Who is it that overcomes, present tense, the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? That he was the Messiah? That he came to rescue us and to save us? The religions of the world offer a works thing, and Christ offers a grace thing. Well, Peter Drucker, when he was in Wall Street and came to faith in Christ, that guru, he says, when I discovered the grace of God, here's a Wall Streeter, I realized the grace of God was the best deal on planet Earth. That's not bad. And that's what it's all about. We have the greatest leader ever. Wow. Twice overcomes the world. We are victory right now, victory celebrations. You know, when I lead someone to Christ, I often say, you know, I take them to Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And I said, you know what? Today in heaven, they're having a celebration for you. And if you really listen, you may hear it. And it's bigger than the Super Bowl. It really is. And there's rejoicing in the presence of God over one sinner who repents. Maybe when Paul talked about his trip to heaven in 2 Corinthians 12, and he heard things that were inexpressible, I would have said, let me tell you what I saw. No, he says, let me tell you what I heard. Maybe it was one of those victory celebrations from a sinner who just trusted Christ in heaven through a party, a celebration, a victory celebration, because they get it, why Jesus died for them. I love that. I love that. And so we need to look at things differently today. Who's winning in China? The Lord is. You know, there, perhaps there are more Christians, I believe, in China than in America. Do you know, perhaps the fastest growing church may be in Iran today? Iran, of all things, that way? Can you imagine that? Who's winning the church here in America? The revisionist? The Lord is, believe it or not. The Lord is going to win. At the end of the day, he will win. I love the book of Esther. A couple years ago, I was studying Esther, and I call Esther the shadow sovereign. If you ever studied Esther, God's name is never mentioned there. I remember being at seminary at Dallas one time. It's about 2 in the morning, and I'm studying on a Friday night for Hebrew the next morning. And a friend of mine knocks on the door. He says, Ron, what? I just been going through Esther, and I just realized, what? The name of God's not mentioned here. I wonder if the profs know this. But his fingerprints are all over the place. His fingerprints are all over in the book of Esther. And so here's Haman, anti-Semitic, as we're seeing today across college campuses, and he wants to kill the Jews, and he doesn't realize Esther's a Jewess. Oh! And so he's making these moves, and it's, I think every move he makes puts a smile on the face of God. Why do I say that? Because God, the ultimate chess master, is saying to them, bad move. You sure didn't make that? That's a bad move. You sure didn't make that move? You're going to move into checkmate. And I began to look at things differently that way. In Psalm 2, our world today looks at God and says, we want to tear off your fetters. We don't want you telling us to do whatever it is that way. And God sits in the heavens and what? He laughs. Kiss the sun, lest you perish. Kiss the sun. And so God's not wringing his hands. Why? Because he's the ultimate Nike. Our Savior's the ultimate Nike. And so are we in Christ. Proverbs 13:13 says, he that despises the word will be in debt to it. But he that trusts in God will be exalted. And I love that truth because it implies you don't break the word breaks you as we experience the law of harvest that we're seeing today. But for every Christian, we have a position of victory. Every Christian. The name Overcomer, by the way, is not for some elite groups of Christians. I believe it's the brand of every child of God. Just as the word saint. If you're a child of God, you're a saint. Doesn't mean you have a halo, you're perfect. But we are set apart, we belong to Jesus, and he's ours. We are saints. That's the pralaban term used in the New Testament of a Christian. It's amazing. But I love this truth. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer, one word, through him who loved us. We are hyper Nikes. We are super Nikes because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, nothing will separate us from the love of God. That goes on to follow there. I just love that truth. So Nike truth says, every believer, we will finish the race. Because our super Nike will make sure we do that. And the victory he claimed at the cross. And I'll tell you, just by looking at this basic truth, it just lifted my spirits as I share my faith now and are involved in missions, whatever it is, knowing that we are on a winning track because we are Nikes. We are Nikes. So let me just take a few moments and tell you about some Nike stories, okay? Some Nikes that I know of. Back in 2005, I was asked to be a part of five people to make up a new board called Endure International. And the leader was Hannah Shaheen. Hannah was born in Jerusalem. And for years, he was the voice of J. Vernon McGee on Trans World Radio, translating all of his sermons into Arabic. And then he became so burdened that these Muslims were coming to Christ, but no one was following them up as he would have liked. So with permission, we began this little fledgling mission, Endure International, Endure Hardship as a Soldier of Christ, 2 Timothy 2:2. And it was exciting. And we wanted to reach North Africa and the Middle East with Muslims through radio and following up with nationals on the ground. and helping the persecuted church. Because in those lands, when you trust Christ, your birth certificate says you're Muslim. You can't do that. And you'll often lose your family, your wife, your children, your job, your wealth, whatever it is. So we want to come alongside and just encourage. And God's been so good through the years, through the Bible, actually is partnering with us. They have 1,800 stations in America, but around the world. But they want a good teaching by way of video and satellite. And now we have 9 different languages, starting with Arabic and then Farsi, that can potentially reach 1.6 billion Muslims. And the feedback we're getting on social media is just phenomenal. Because that can go into countries where you can't take a Bible. And yet the good teaching of the Word of God just goes there. And it's really, really been exciting for us on the feedback. So let me share about a couple Nikes. Let me tell you, and I won't say their names, but let me tell you about Brother R. Brother R was a veterinarian in Syria, this war-torn Syria. And because they're pretty well eating all the animals, there was no need for a vet. Things are bad there. And so he began a church in Damascus, where Paul was headed. Remember Paul? Saul? Paul? And there he is reaching hundreds of people. He is impacting a group called the Druze, which are a very secretive Muslim sect with some Zoroastrianism. They're sort of an offshoot that way. You have to be born a Druze to be a Druze. And he's reaching them by the dozens and leading them to Christ and baptizing them. Now, let me tell you, in Damascus, you get water in your house every 17 days. Think that through, especially young families with kids and all that. And you get electricity 1 hour a day. It's amazing. So we've tried to build some wells and things like that. But yet, Dr. R just feels called to be there. And he has started a church 2 hours south. And once again, reaching the Druze for Christ. It's just an amazing. He has just started a Bethlehem kitchen. And they're feeding 1,400 families a month. You can feed a family of four for $1 a day in Damascus. It's pretty bad. But during COVID and all that, he'd have to travel, even to get aspirin, he'd have to travel to Lebanon to get aspirin for his flock. It was that bad. So just a few months ago, he was traveling to Lebanon, and he had helped a Muslim family, but the man was beating his wife and children, and they escaped, and the man accused Dr. R of kidnapping them. So he was arrested at the border. Put in jail. Imagine this jail. It's 10 by 20. That's 200 square feet. 10 by 20. Can you imagine that? And there are 36 prisoners in that setting. Cement floor, no lights, a bucket in the corner. And he's there for 4 days. And finally had to pay $600 to be released. But he wrote to me and he says, "Ron, those 4 days were some of the most productive moments of my ministry." He led many of those prisoners to Christ. It's like Paul, he had a captive audience in Philippians 1. The whole Praetorian Guard's hearing. They chain a different guy every 6 hours. I got a captive audience. He said, "If we would have had water, I would have baptized them." In fact, I was being discharged. The guard said, "You didn't do any proselytizing in there." He says, "Absolutely. Because if I was outside, you would have put me in jail. So I was already in jail. Why not?" And he's following up with some of these people. Just amazing. Amazing. His 2 daughters go to school and there's bombshells. But he feels called to be in Damascus, reaching the Druze. Unheard of. Let me tell you about Brother H. Brother H is from Yemen. You're hearing about Yemen, aren't you? And the missiles and things like that. But he was in Saudi Arabia and he was a multimillionaire, very productive businessman. Had a whole trucking industry and stores. And he goes to the mosque one day, and he makes the mistake of asking a question. And the next thing he knows, he wakes up in the hospital. Everybody just beat him up. "You don't ask questions." I've been to places there, and you hear the kids learning rote all day long. You do not ask a question. So he's beat up for 6 weeks in jail for that. He starts listening to the gospel. He's thinking to himself, this is Muslim, this is Islam. And he starts hearing the gospel over the airwaves. And he wants a Bible so bad. It's hard to get it in Saudi Arabia, maybe through the military. And finally, he downloads and prints out a Bible. That's a lot of print. Okay, HP was really happy about that. And then here he has a Bible, listen to this, in his home. How many Bibles do you have in your home? He's arrested and given 8 years in prison. And they confiscated his wealth, millions of dollars. They took it all. They left his wife and four daughters stranded. We helped to get them to Jordan. There he is in jail. And for some reason, after 2 years, the king signs a release. But you need to know something. When you're a prisoner, you get 100 lashes a year. So he's released after 2 years, and he's forgiven of the 6 years of being in prison, but he still owes 600 lashes. So he gets 600 lashes. Finally, he gets a satellite phone for $5,000, where he got that, I don't know. And he's able to communicate. And finally, we were able to get him to Jordan. And there in Jordan, using his phone and Zoom, he has 40 house churches in Yemen. And he estimates there are 250,000 believers in Yemen. You're not going to hear this on the news. And he has 9 house churches in Saudi Arabia. And he has house churches in Jordan. He's like a modern Apostle Paul. He's a Nike. And it's just amazing. Pray for Brother R and Brother H. God is just using them in phenomenal ways, in awful conditions that way. Let me tell you about Rashid. I can mention him. Rashid, his father was an imam in Jordan. I baptized his brother in Morocco. I'm sorry, Morocco. And one day we had 22 Muslim background believers recently saved. We spent a week with them, discipling them. And early on a Sunday morning, before the police could come, we took them down into the ocean. 18 were baptized. And Rami's brother was one of them. But Rami is in the States broadcasting television to Europe, to the Middle East, to Africa. And he is so productive, he has a $10 million bounty on his head. I've been to where he broadcasts. Amazing, the call-in, the things like that. He just opens the Bible, but he also opens up the Quran. Said, this is what your Quran teaches. Do you realize that Muhammad's only mentioned 4 times, but Jesus is mentioned 25? Do you realize the only woman mentioned in the Quran is Mary, the mother of Jesus? Do you realize this? And he goes on and on and on. And it's just amazing. So $10 million bounty. I have been tempted. I have been tempted. I'll tell you, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Wow. Wow. And then there's Mubarak. Mubarak was one of those that we discipled that week. And he came. He was a teacher. He spoke English, so he and I could really communicate. And he knew that he was a Muslim, but that wasn't it. But he still wasn't near on Christianity. But after that week, we had this baptism early Sunday morning outside Casablanca in a rough ocean, climbing down the rocks. We're all done baptizing, and here comes Mubarak. I said, Mubarak, what are you doing? He says, I've come to place my faith in Christ and be baptized, and I realize my life is about to be radically changed. Have you ever noticed that the unplanned events of our day are often God's main event? Have you ever discovered that? You start out one day, and you have things in your iPad and your list and things like that, and God has something completely different for you. That's the adventure of being a Nike. That's the adventure of being part of God's big story and being part of that cast. The unplanned events of our day are often God's main event. And when you get that, it becomes downright exciting. When I trusted Christ at 9, it was right after some missionaries in Ecuador had been martyred, 5 young men with families. And Nate Saint lived near me. I never knew Nate. He was the guy that flew the pilot, the little yellow plane that would land all these sandbars in the jungle. They were trying to reach the Aqua Indians. I'd met those Indians now. And there they were martyred. They had guns. They didn't use them. Nate's dad, Mr. Larry Saint, mentored me. I dedicated my life at a missions conference, and that's why I'm speaking here today, at a missions conference. And Mr. Saint never was bitter about his son. I mean, their families went back into the tribe and led that tribe to Christ. It was amazing, amazing. One of those men that was martyred was Jim Elliot. And I've always enjoyed his statement. In my life, I do not want to be a milestone the people pass by to remember. I want to be a fork in the road that because of the clarity of my life, men choose one way or the next. I want to be that kind of a Nike in our broken world that offers hope. Art Yoner was a missionary in Suriname with primitive Stone Age people, he would say. And one day we're talking, he says, Ron, I'm not as concerned about those who fail in life as those who succeed in things that really don't matter. And there's too many Christians living their little small story and not doing things that count for eternity. But to live God's big story, the things that count for eternity are the Word of God and people. And to realize, God, you want me to be involved in your big story in whatever capacity? Yes. It could be on the front lines as missionaries out there. It could be the home team, prayerful support, communication, giving, whatever it is that way. But to be a part of God's big story, you talk about purpose to life. You talk about adventure. You talk about God winks that God just gives over and over and over to say, Lord, you're a living God. Thank you so much. That's what it's all about. I believe the greatest way, well, that's what Art Yoner said. I'm not as concerned about those who fail in life as those who succeed in things that really don't matter. The greatest way to use your life is to spend it on that which will outlast it. And that's the Word of God, and that's people. And that's the greatest way to spend our lives. And I would pray as this week just progresses that we would grab that and realize that's what it's all about. God's big story. We are Nikes. I close with a great story of a young Nike. As a college student, Jim Dennison served as a summer missionary in East Malaysia at a Bible church. And at one of the worship services, there was going to be a baptism service. And this young gal came forward to publicly confess her faith in Christ and to be baptized. And as Jim is taking this all in, he's a summer intern. Okay, he'll be heading back to college. He noticed some old luggage on the side of the church wall. And he said to the pastor, what's that all about? And the pastor said, well, that young gal, her father said, if you are baptized, don't ever return home. Did she lose? No, she was a Nike. She was a Nike. The story for her will just be amazing as far as what God does. She could never lose. So my friends, let's stop this defeatist attitude. You know, I love to be reminded of what I should be doing in life. And a couple years ago, somebody said, Ron, do you see the arrow in the FedEx? Do you see the arrow in there? I can't miss it anymore. You see the arrow? Do you see it? Raise your hand if you see it. How many don't see it? All right, stay after. Okay. Between the E and the X is an arrow, as clear as could be. And every time I see it, I say to myself, am I heading in the right direction that would honor God? It's just a reminder. I need those. Am I doing the right thing today? Am I going the right way? All right, here's another one you can have. You know what? Instead of shaking hands, how about we just do this? Wouldn't that be neat? Hey, you're a Nike, aren't you? You're a Nike. You're a Nike. Yeah. And so every time I see that, it's often on athletic apparel. That's all right. Hey, that's my brand. How dare you, Nike, take my brand. That's what it's all about. Wow. Mission says that in the end, God wins. That's what this week is all about. Man, if you come in here saying, man, this world is so broken, I'm so discouraged. Ooh, you know, no. Almighty God sits on the throne. He reigns. He's accomplishing his purposes. Even all the bad stuff in the world, prophecy shows how God is moving the pieces on the chessboard toward checkmate. And we are Nikes. We are winners. And when that happens, read this with me. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people, God, for every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." So here's my challenge to you, friends. Surrender your little story and embrace God's big story. What does that look like? It means waking up every morning and saying, "Lord, however you can use me today, help yourself. Help yourself." It means, as a church, however you can use this church, "Lord, help yourself. Lord, however you can use our missionary team, help yourself." And get ready for the Nike adventure. Would you bow with me? Would you take a moment right now and be honest with God? He invites honesty. I love that. And it's so easy to get caught up in our little story, our little Ron Schmidt story. Big deal. And so would you be willing to just surrender that and say, "Lord, I want to discard that." Paul would say it was rubbish in Philippians 3. And embrace God's big story. That in the end, God wins. In fact, he's winning right now. He's doing things beyond our understanding. He's too wise to make a mistake. He's too kind to be cruel. He's too deep to explain himself, but he's winning. And I love that. Would you just right now say, "Lord, I surrender to your big story." Because to do that means I'll be doing things that count for eternity. Oh. And I have a great God, the ultimate overcomer. And because of Jesus and what he did for me on the cross, I want to own the brand that I am a Nike. So, Father, I want to join the cast of your big story, whether it's on the grand stage or behind the scenes, it doesn't matter, because to you alone is the glory and the honor and the power forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.